Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 5 minutes past the hour, and welcome to Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Andrew Martin. What an important topic we have. And not only have I done a lot of homework for today's program, we have been covering Dr. Martin, all of these things. Since the pandemic, hard to believe that I guess technically by next week or so, a year since everything changed, even though we now have learned it happened even before then. Dr. Andrew Martin is here, a distinguished pulmonologist and is board certified in pulmonary disease, sleep medicine, and critical care medicine, triple threat. Dr. Martin earned his medical degree at the UMDNJ Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. He went on to complete a residency at Roger Williams Medical Center at Brown University in Rhode Island. After his residency, Dr. Martin completed a fellowship in pulmonary and critical care at UMDNJ Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. Dr. Martin's special interests include sleep disorders, complicated asthma, especially during pregnancy, and critical care ethics. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. He is the chair of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center and the medical director post-COVID-19 recovery program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and a fellow of the American College of Chest Physicians. Dr. Martin, welcome to your program, sir. How are you?
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is my honor, your honor. And what an important topic we're going to be talking about for the next 30 minutes, COVID damaging the lungs, and what is the damage? And I was mentioning, as I've been promoting you all morning, doctor, that I have visually looked at the imaging of a non-smoker, a smoker, and someone with significant COVID-19 damage to the lungs. It can be devastating, can it?
Oh, yes, it can. It can get very bad, as we know.
How does COVID-19 affect the overall respiratory system, both in the short and long term?
Well, it can have anywhere from a simple cough and a mild bronchitis to full-blown pneumonia with acute respiratory distress syndrome and severe respiratory failure, certainly in the short and acute term. In the long term, we're still defining that. We're all seeing our patients after their infections. They come in with a full range of complaints, from being asymptomatic to having a lingering cough, which is probably the most common complaint I've been seeing lately, to some impairment that is worse than before, whether they were normal before or whether they had some kind of impairment before such as COPD or emphysema. But as far as what the range of that goes, it's going to run the full gamut, the full recovery to lingering effects.
Dr. Martin, for those who are diagnosed with COVID-19 and then recover, how about the short-term effects of COVID-19 on the lungs?
Well, there's going to be a period of healing. Again, if you had a significant pneumonia, that often doesn't get better right away. So there'll be a period of time where it'll take some healing. Often people have shortness of breath. That may be just due to their having had a general illness and being deconditioned after being very ill. And so that's the short-term effects. People will, I think if people have been in the hospital with a severe illness, they'll rarely go home feeling normal right away. But a month or two later, things start to improve, hopefully.
Can COVID-19, Dr. Martin, cause permanent lung damage?
Well, it seems that that's going to be the case for some people. And we should keep in mind that that's always a potential possibility for any severe pneumonia due to whatever cause. But I think, yeah, there are going to be some people clearly that have long-term symptoms, at least, if not demonstrable, structural or physiologic impairment.
And let's separate the difference between someone that had no issues and contracted COVID-19 versus someone who has underlying health conditions. What does the long-term lung damage mean for them?
Well, as I used to say a lot in the critical care unit particularly, it's rare that somebody comes out of something like that better than when they went in.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're going to lose a quarter of your lung capacity, what it was at baseline is going to make a difference as to where you end up.
All right, this is going to
that's probably the most important thing.
Got it. This is going to seem like Captain Obvious, but I think the question should be asked. For people who have a lung disease or lung issues, why does that increase your risk of severe COVID-19?
You know, honestly, I've been seeing sort of conflicting data on that. I recently saw an article that looked at asthmatics, and it didn't really conclude that that increased the risk for severe disease. I mean, we clearly know that if you smoke or if you have other underlying conditions, particularly obesity and diabetes, that you're at risk for more severe disease. I think the most important thing about having a pre-existing condition, again, is that it's the baseline you're starting out from.
Yeah.
As to whether asthma or COPD actually increase the risk for the virus proceeding to a severe disease, I personally am not clear on that, reading the literature I've been seeing. I think it's still an open question.
I think so, too, as a layperson, because I've done a lot of reading on this, and I was so shocked. You would just assume, not you as a doctor, but me as a layperson, that somebody with asthma, oh, my gosh, COVID-19, please be compliant, you know, be so careful, you know, follow everything because you don't want to get it. If you already have trouble breathing, you don't want to get something that can affect your lungs. Then I do this reading that says that asthma is not even, like, considered a contributing factor. They talk about obesity, and they talk about if you've had bad pneumonia and things like that. But somehow asthma doesn't seem to be a problem with COVID. That shocked me to read that. But I guess that maybe that's just reading we've done, and it is not settled, as you say.
Yeah, I think it's not settled, but it has surprised me as well. At Deborah, we're kind of small. We're not a big general hospital. I haven't taken care of as many of these patients as some of my friends have, but I've been very surprised at how little wheezing I hear in patients who have COPD and asthma that have this problem. On the other hand, you might consider the fact that asthmatics are often on long-term anti-inflammatory therapies such as inhaled steroids, and we do know that steroids help people with severe disease, so perhaps there may be a little protection there. Also, it just may be that the way COVID-19, the virus, works itself, it doesn't affect the muscles around the airways that are the source of wheezing in patients with asthma. So, yeah, it is a bit surprising. Yeah.
Two-part question, Dr. Martin. Can the lung damage from COVID-19 be reversed? And how likely is an infected person able to recover and regain lung function?
Well, the lung damage being reversed is going to depend on what kind of lung damage has been set up by the virus. Very often, pneumonias can be completely healed. But if somebody has gotten so ill that they've been on a ventilator, very difficult to ventilate, and has developed what we call occult respiratory distress syndrome, in other words, other real bad injuries to the lungs, it'll be an open question whether that can be reversed. But the majority, realize, the majority of patients with COVID will develop mild or no infection at all, and most of them will have mild infection, and that will probably be recoverable. So in the entire population of people that get COVID, again, we have a lot of people who never get symptoms or get very mild symptoms, and we get a few people who get very severe. Certainly the people with mild symptoms or no symptoms could go on to full recovery. And some of the people with significant symptoms that have even been hospitalized and needed oxygen for a short time, often they go on to full recovery.
Is it confounding that some people don't even know they had it, and maybe they just took a test and they tested positive, but they're completely asymptomatic or almost completely asymptomatic, might feel a little tired, might feel like a little something or other, but almost have no ill effects, and then some people, they're in a hospital on a ventilator. It's really amazing how this ravages some and barely touches others.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's typical of most virals or other infections. There's going to be a range of susceptibility to the ill effect. As it seems with COVID, because steroids do help severe disease, a lot of the damage, as in other infections, comes from the body's reaction, you know, to that infection rather than the action of the virus or the bacteria itself. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about this interview, you know, if you look at these models of the immune system, they kind of look like one of those huge Rube Goldberg type things where there's, you know, buckets and wires and 10 things affecting one thing. It's a huge, complicated system. And what makes any one person react severely when another person is immune is still somewhat of a mystery. But it's typical of most infections. You know, people have different susceptibilities to the ill effect.
Very well said. We take only one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and it is right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Andrew Martin. Dr. Martin is the chair of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine and the medical director of the Post-COVID-19 Recovery Program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and today's distinguished guest is Dr. Andrew Martin, and the program topic is how COVID-19 damages the lungs. When we come back, we're going to talk about, even though we tossed asthma around a moment ago, how do you protect yourself from COVID-19 if you have asthma, if you have COPD or lung disease? That's next with Dr. Martin on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. I'm Hurley in the Morning. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Download the WPG Talk Radio app for your iPhone or Droid and take South Jersey's talk station wherever you go. Get free, unlimited South Jersey news right at your fingertips. Listen to and easily call all of your favorite local and national talk shows. Wake up with Harry Hurley using the alarm clock feature and more. It's the WPG Talk Radio app for your iPhone or Droid. Download it now at WPGTalkRadio.com.
.com/free.
South Jersey's most listened to morning talk show on South Jersey's number one rated talk station, Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
We are back. It is 21 minutes past the hour. Let me go out of order because guest listener Bob called in a few hours ago and he said, would I please, and he is going to be taking the vaccine. So that Dr. Martin knows what I've been doing, I never pretend I'm not a doctor. I am a nurse dad, a lot of nurses in my family, but I don't pretend to be a doctor on the radio, but I am a big booster of having the annual flu vaccine, which I never miss. Missed it one year when they wouldn't let me take it. You might remember that year. I don't know. It was a decade ago when there was this fake that shortage that wound up. We threw away millions of doses, but they said if you were younger and healthy, not to take it. So I missed it one year, maybe in the last 25 years. Haven't had the flu. And we don't even have time to get into this, but there's no flu anymore this year because of COVID-19, which is an interesting conversation. Maybe you and I can talk about another time the reason for that. I haven't heard anybody get the flu this year, but there's a reason for that. But the listener brought up a question that I think a lot of people think about and hear different things and read different things. So before we go to the question that I teased right before the break, Bob's question was, for Dr. Martin, mRNA, the technology that has been employed with this vaccine, can it alter the DNA?
Okay, so let's talk about mRNA really quickly. The way your body makes proteins is there's, you know, little teeny machines that read your DNA, and they sort of make a mirror image that's called mRNA. mRNA is a string of signals that other machines in the cells read and put together protein. Okay, so that's what mRNA is. The difference between a regular vaccine and an mRNA vaccine is that, you know, in a regular vaccine, we want the body to make an antibody to a specific protein. In a normal vaccine, we give that protein, and then the body sees it and makes antibodies to it. What the mRNA vaccines do is they actually give the little ticker tape that codes for that part of the protein that we want to make antibodies to. And we give it to the body, and the body uses that mRNA itself to make the protein that then the body makes antibodies to. For a mRNA to actually affect DNA, you would have to build the mRNA that codes for proteins that allows it to modify DNA. Now, there are certain viruses that do this. Chickenpox does this. But the mRNA vaccines that are manufactured, they're not manufactured with this, you know, with the information for the enzyme that allows them to affect DNA. So no, these mRNA vaccines are not going to affect DNA. What they do is they use your body's machinery to make a protein that then the body makes antibodies.
And it leaves. My understanding is it degrades quickly. It stays in the body for a very short period and it leaves. So it's gone. It helped and it left. It was a nice little assistant that you hired for a few days.
Correct.
To the question that we teased before the break, and to Bob, there's your answer. And he's getting the vaccine anyhow, but he just wanted to know. He read something about that, and I appreciate you being willing, Dr. Martin, to address that. How do you protect yourself from COVID-19 if you have asthma, if you have COPD or lung disease?
It's basically the things that we've been doing all along. You know, this is a very easy virus to get. That's what makes it so dangerous. But it's also not a very hard virus not to get. And the best way to protect yourself is avoid being exposed to that. Now, how do you do that? What you do is you avoid places, particularly indoors, that are crowded and where people are not wearing masks. Because that's how you get exposed to it. Avoidance of exposure is the way you protect yourself from the virus. So that would be my advice. And even going forward, you know, we all have to be very careful now because things are going to change. Because people are getting vaccinated, we're going to feel safer. But right now, still, if you're putting yourself at risk, if you expose yourself to a room full of people that aren't wearing masks and are too close, that's the best way to avoid it. And we have to remember also that we're protecting other people when we wear the mask.
There you go.
So if everybody doesn't do it, then... you know, it's not a protection.
Let me, Dr. Martin.
Outside,
go ahead.
Safer, yes.
Go ahead, please.
That's it.
What I wanted to follow up on, Dr. Martin, was what would you say to someone that has received both shots? I'll say that it's not the J&J with just the one shot, but you've received both shots and you're now, I'm just going to throw it out there, you're well past 2 weeks, you're a few months since you had your second shot. How should you live your life at that point?
Okay, at this point, I think you can feel a little safer, yes. Again, I would still be careful until we have more information. I think it's important to realize also that there is still a small possibility that you might get the virus and be able to spread it to other people. Mm. Now, you know, realize all these vaccines so far have basically eliminated severe disease and hospitalization. But when you hear those upfront numbers of 95%, 74%, that generally means the ability to intake the virus. So while it's just important to kind of remember, you still, at this point, and again, this is going to be a fluid situation for the next few months at least, that you have to realize that you still have a responsibility to try to protect other people. And that's how I would advise people who are vaccinated. Now, they're going to come out with recommendations that say, you know, if you have five people who have all been vaccinated, you know, oh, sure, sit down and have dinner together. You'll be okay. But in terms of the public, there's still going to be, I mean, if these numbers hold true, that a third of us are going to say, no, I don't want the vaccine, that's going to mean that a third of the people out there are still susceptible. And I think we still have to think about them because we still have to protect them for the time being.
It's a great answer. You're listening to Dr. Andrew Martin. He's the chair of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center and the medical director post-COVID-19 recovery program at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. To make an appointment, one of two ways, both very, very simple to do. You can call 609-293-2363, 609-293-2363, or it's very simple on the website as well, demanddeborah.org, and you will see the hyperlink to requesting an appointment, to finding a provider, and so on. Very important topic this half hour with Dr. Martin, how COVID-19 damages the lungs. Why is it important for your listeners to understand how COVID-19 can affect the lungs? I guess it only hurts when you breathe, but what's the answer to that?
Well, it's just the same. It's important to understand how to interpret what you're feeling, for sure, and to know how you're susceptible. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that this is a great opportunity for people who smoke. If they've been thinking about stopping, now's the time.
That is great. That is a great point. Now, in the 5 minutes or so that we have, let's talk about the area that you also head up, and that is the post-COVID recovery program. Explain Deborah's new post-COVID recovery program, doctor.
Well, I sort of came up with this because I just wanted to make sure that people know that if they had recovered from COVID, and if they are, particularly because I'm a pulmonologist, short of breath, that we are still here. We've been seeing patients all along. We have the tools to evaluate your respiratory system and your heart as well, which are, you know, the two most common sources of shortness of breath in general. And that we're here to see people. And they shouldn't be afraid. A lot of people are having trouble seeing their doctors in person. I personally have never stopped seeing people in person. And I think that's important. It can be very hard to decide what's going on with somebody that's having shortness of breath just by talking to them on the phone. So that's basically it. I wanted to make sure that people know if they have been recovered, they've had their infection, the infection's gone, but they're still having symptoms, that we're here to take a look at you, to check your lung function, to check your exercise capacity, to work you up for any heart or lung problems that you might have.
Sidebar question before we get to your next question about the patients who are eligible for your program. Have you dealt with anyone that's had COVID-19 more than once?
Personally, no.
But it does happen.
I don't recall anybody. I have heard of them, yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's a very, very important thing to bring up, because I think the other message to get out there is, you know, to understand that just because you've had COVID, you know, this is not measles. You know, you don't get lifelong immunity, that the vaccine is still very important, even if you've had the infection, and especially with the variants coming up.
I personally know someone who has had it twice, and it's just incredible. And not a reckless person at all. I mean, just the worst fortune there to have it actually twice.
Yeah.
Second time was worse than the first time, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's always the case, but it was the case this time. But the first time was no picnic either for this individual. Tough sledding two times, and the second even worse than the first. What type of patients are eligible for the program?
Well, for the specific program is that it's people who have kind of reached sort of a plateau after 4 to 6 weeks of having been treated or being discharged from the hospital. Those are the people I want to evaluate. Those are the people that they've either stopped getting better, or they're getting better very slowly, but they still have symptoms, or if they just want to make sure everything's okay. Also, very important, if people were sent home with oxygen from the hospital, it doesn't mean you're going to need that forever. That does have to be reevaluated down the line. So we want to make sure we are doing the right thing, that we're not giving people things they don't need. So it's really people who've sort of recovered and reached a stable point 4 to 6 weeks after their infection that still need to be seen because of symptoms or just to get checked out.
I'm glad you brought that up about the oxygen, because sometimes people think, oh, my gosh, I'm leaving the hospital with oxygen. Is this the rest of my life? So not necessarily at all, is what you just said.
No, not at all. Look, even with people with COPD, which is sort of a irreversible condition, the classic numbers are people with COPD who were sent home with oxygen for the first time, a third of them don't need it. This is pre-COVID. A third of them don't need it 3 months later. So, yeah, that need, like any other medicine, it has to be reevaluated down the line. And oxygen is a medicine.
Dr. Martin, I mentioned the phone number, of course, for our listeners to make appointments at Deborah. Today's topic, of course, is how COVID-19 damages the lungs. But we give this number out every month when we do the program, and even between appearances of you and your fellow colleagues, for people to make an appointment at Deborah by calling 609-293-2363 or using the website demanddeborah.org. For this particular program, is there any additional information or something special that they need to do in order to sign up?
Well, having worked at a lot of organizations, I would just tell people that if they feel like they're running into a brick wall, they can call the hospital and ask to be connected to the pulmonary department, and they can leave a message for myself or our manager, John Hill. That's if the normal process doesn't seem to be working for them. We always try to make ourselves available for direct contact.
That's awesome. That is great. To the listeners of Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, you just got a very, very nice piece of advice there from the distinguished Dr. Andrew Martin with respect to their accessibility to you. I think that was an awesome comment. In about a minute or whatever time you need to take to give us a closing comment, what is our takeaway from your visit here this morning, Dr. Martin, about how COVID-19 damages the lungs?
Well, I think my message would be that there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I would encourage anybody to get the first vaccine that comes their way. But also, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it's important to be a bit patient and continue to be careful for the time being. And protect yourself. Continue to protect yourself. Continue to protect your family. Continue to protect the people you work with and the people you love.
I've been really looking forward to this program in the run-up to it, Dr. Martin, because I knew how great you would be and I knew what important information you would be imparting. I know you helped a lot of people today, and I thank you for your time and your expertise.
Well, I thank you for having me, Harry.
You're welcome, sir. A real honor to present you. Dr. Andrew Martin, the chair of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine and the medical director of the post-COVID-19 recovery program. You've been listening to Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. When we come back, we will be joined by a Democratic candidate for mayor of Atlantic City, and I have a sneaky suspicion he is going to have a lot to say based on what the mayor of Atlantic City said and did here yesterday on this program. Tom Foley will join us next. Doctor, hang on there. I want to say goodbye to you off the air. I so appreciate you and thoroughly enjoy every opportunity that you and I have the opportunity to convene. We will be back, and we rarely move it, but occasionally we do. But typically, you can rest assured that on the first Thursday of every month, that is typically when we present Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Today, no exception, of course, being the first Thursday in March with a great expert, Dr. Andrew Martin.